Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
Last Sunday show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? That's 2,800 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
And good evening, everyone. I hope you're all okay wherever it is you are, or, you know, wherever it is you're listening to this. As usual, you can listen to it to us live Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock UK time, was it 3 p.m.? 3 p.m. Eastern on the east coast of the US. So this is Antisocial Game Radio, as usual. A couple more weeks, literally next week and the week after. And then it's sort of on hiatus for a little bit. But to say the final show of this year, literally on the last day of the year, will be the Game of the Year show. So after the show, I'm going to put a thread in the Facebook group, which you can join, which is always welcome for new people. Go to facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. I'm going to put it up after the end of the show, once I've done this week's topic. And so basically we have a couple of weeks to get yourself sorted, you know, figure out what your Game of the Year is. I'm pretty sure on what mine is. I'm not too super sure, but I'm going to have a look at what else I've played and sort of, you know, judge it against that. And, you know, a lot of top contenders I've played this year. Some games I've missed out on, but, you know, I'm sort of working my way around them, you know, to do with certain things as, you know, my sort of Xbox is sort of dying and a bunch of other stuff. But so, yeah, also you can contact the show. You can Skype in. Just add Antisocial Game Radio to your Skype contacts. Also, you can email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at @MLRGamerRadio. So basically, I've played a few things this week. Not too much, because, I mean, as it's this time of the year, you know, Christmas is next week. I'm really not that bothered about Christmas. I did some sort of walked around the shops this morning. Everyone's playing the Christmas music, but I'm really not feeling it. Basically, there's literally no games that I want to play at the moment. But there's some stuff I'm thinking about. I want to probably get myself a copy of Ni No Kuni for the PlayStation 3, and I want to get myself that Tales of what the hell is it? One of the Tales games that came on the PlayStation 3 exclusively. That's some stuff I want to play. And then, you know, Ratchet & Clank, which I need to get off my mate. You know, some stuff I want to play, but I'm in no hurry. But what I have been playing on PlayStation 3, I've been playing Resistance 2. It's a lot of fun. I haven't been playing too much of it because I've been playing some other stuff. Well, one other thing, which I'll explain in a second. Yeah, it's really good. I think I'm about a quarter of the way through the game now. It's not that big. I went on GameFAQs this morning. Fan in the chat says, still haven't heard White Christmas this year. Hoping it stays that way. Yeah, same here. I don't know. I heard Frank Sinatra. I think Cliff Richard. Almost fucking killed myself. And a bunch of other shit. But yeah, I say it's... It just doesn't feel, you know, I've lost my Christmas spirit anyway, but it really doesn't feel Christmassy to me. I don't know, it's pissing down with rain outside. I don't know, it's the closest we're going to get to a white Christmas. But yeah, Resistance 2. I looked on GameFAQs, it's a very short game it seems. I mean, I think I'm on like the third level, I think, out of like seven or eight. So about a quarter of the way through. But yeah, I finished what I did last week in San Francisco, and then they chuck you on some sort of transport, and they send you off into the woods in California. And then now I'm on this big battleship trying to destroy it. Yeah, I'll be glad when I'm finished with it, because it's literally, I mean, it's weird. I've said before, you know, I'm a big fan of the Gears of War story, but I mean, Resistance, there's no real narrative to that game's story. It's pretty much run, gun, and shoot, which I know, obviously, is pretty much the plot of every single first-person shooter we get. But, I mean, even this one, it's even less so. I mean, there was more narrative and story content in the first one. It was, you know, about the Chimera and how they're taken over. But it's weird, because considering that I know that Resistance 3 is basically the Chimera have overtaken the world and you're basically trying to fight back against, you know, overwhelming odds... it sort of feels like, well, shit, we should have basically just, you know, left out 2 and went straight to 3 as, you know, the Chimera have basically taken over the world, and then maybe had 3 been somewhere about that we've found some sort of weapon, you know, like sort of with the Terminator storyline, how, you know, they took over, we sort of won eventually, and, you know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm having tons of fun with the weapons, you know, just doing what you do in the usual Resistance games. It's pretty much rinse and repeat from the first one, but they just moved it on. But say, I am looking forward to when I do finish it. I'm not sure if I'll pick up 3. I'll probably just watch some videos on YouTube or just read the plot on the wiki. But it's good. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I'm a big fan of Nathan Hale, the character. He, you know, he's one of the main PlayStation 3 characters that we had to begin with. And yeah, I mean, I sort of should be looking into other stuff that from the early PlayStation 3 days that I've sort of neglected, like the Killzone. I mean, I have got Infamous on my PlayStation 3. I need to get into that as well. I mean, that's the thing. I've got tons of stuff to play, but I'm just sort of not in a real hurry to play anything, to be honest. It's one of the things. I mean, maybe it's because the show's going on hiatus for a bit because I need to focus on my other project. But yeah, I mean, I'm not in a big hurry to play much. I mean, I did think, as it's being Christmas time, probably I should get... buy another copy of the Batman Arkham Origins game, but it's a thing. It's not voiced by Kevin Conroy. I'm not. It's not the same. You know, Kevin Conroy has been and always will be the voice of Batman from now until the day I die. And when someone's not playing him, it's a bit. I mean, Bruce Greenwood was good in what the hell is it? Hang on one sec. Under the Hood animated movie that we got. I know because I've got the book sitting in the corner of the room. But yeah, I mean, you know, having Kevin Conroy as the voice of Batman in a video game, it takes it away. I mean, you know, I'm sort of worried about Metal Gear Solid now as well. The fact that they've got fucking Kiefer Sutherland to be the voice of Big Boss. And it's like, well, shit, you know. Clone or no clone, I mean, David Hayter's always been the voice of, Naked Snake, Big Boss, well, not in Metal Gear Solid 4, obviously, but he, you know, he was Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid 4, but, you know, it's one of those things, it's and, you know, probably why Splinter Cell didn't do so good, considering, it wasn't Michael Ironside, as the voice of Sam Fisher, but, you know, whatever. Fan in chat is correcting himself. Well, two things. First, yeah, he's saying about not White Christmas, he meant Last Christmas. Fan says, David Hayter will get the fuck out. Literally, yes. Considering it's... David Hayter's been doing... It's weird, though. I didn't realise how... David Hayter's not exactly super young, but he's not exactly super old. He's, I think, was it mid-40s? And considering that he did the voice for, Solid Snake back in the day in, mid to late 90s, 20 years ago now, he still had the same voice. It's one of those things. It's like Kevin Conroy. His voice doesn't age. You know what I'm trying to say. It's one of those things. It's keep the voice actor and you keep the fans happy. You change the voice actor, you're going to piss us all off. Stuff I have been playing. I wouldn't talk about this too much, but I've been doing a lot of Pokemon breeding. I'm literally sitting here now wearing my Banksy's Pokemon shirt with the guy throwing stuff, but in the place of it's, I think it was a bottle or flowers or whatever it was in the Banksy photo of the guy throwing stuff. It's a Pokeball. He's 44. Yeah, I didn't want to give away his age. I didn't want to make him look too old or too young. I have been playing doing a lot of breeding on Pokemon, sort of using the friend safari. I mean, I've bred a bunch of, like, because I'm going for the, when it comes to IV breeding, I'm going for the 5 out of 6. I mean, 6 is, proper perfect, but there's always going to be one that's negative. So pretty much what I breed is, it's either good in one attack or, bad in another. But yeah, so basically I've bred Perfect Ivy, Ponyta, Magmar. Ooh, I'm working on a Pidgey now, which is a bit tricky to be honest. It's easy. It's easy trying to, breed the perfect Pokemon in the Friend Safari because at least two of them have, each Pokemon has at least two perfect IVs. So basically, I can just, grab a whole load of them and then just sort of breed them all together. But I'm sort of working on a Pidgey now. I've got like a perfect Caterpie, which I'll, EV train. I mean, all these have got to be EV trained. I've literally just got them all perfect IVs that I want. And they're all, when you go to the judge, they're all outstanding as well. That's their rate of, how they've been rated, which is perfect. My eventual goal is basically to have, there's 718, official ones, and there's three which we should be getting through events and all sorts of stuff like that. But I'm not going to have 721 perfect IV Pokemon. I'm going to have whatever it is. I want a perfect Blastoise, but I don't want a perfect Squirtle and Wartortle. So I'll just have the one. I'll fully evolve it. You get what I'm trying to say. So basically, I won't have the 721. Eventually, it'll be 300-400 or whatever it is. I don't know. So many. Fans is about David Hayter. Says, he's not a girl, so his age is fair game. Yeah, that's fine. I should have said just he's 44. I'm just sort of hoping there's some sort of, I know because with Kojima, he likes to do some sort of bluffs and, twists and stuff. I'm hoping that David Hayter is in the game somehow because I'm sure this cuts off his only source of work. That's bullshit. His only source of video game work as such, I mean, he does a lot of script writing. He's very, very talented. It's just, this is the sort of medium we get to see him, or listen to him, rather. And it's a vital thing. It's, it's one of the founding points of an entire game series for the Western world, the English-speaking world, rather. He is the voice of Solid Snake. It'd be painful for me to not have his voice in the game. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like, not having Nolan North as the voice of pretty much every single video game character that we have, which with the end of Assassin's Creed 3 pretty much killed off Desmond. We still have him as Nathan Drake and, various others. I'm still hoping for that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle 2 movie. He did the first one as Raphael. Maybe another one, hopefully. Doing a lot of Pokemon breeding, just because literally, we get the Pokebank comes out next Friday, which I think is going to be at £5 for British cash and about $6 American, probably the same for Canadian, and I think it's I think €6 as well. But yeah, that will come out, and I won't tell you about it next week, but I'll tell you about it on the Game of the Year show. That's going to come out, and I can literally just transfer all my Pokemon over. I think my next goal is to probably breed several perfect IV Charizards or Charmanders. So that way I can trade with someone from another, another region, hopefully North America, I think. And that way, when I do get, I'm sort of hoping that there are no hacked Pokemon, because with the Pokebank and Poketransfer, it won't let you send over any hacked Pokemon. I don't think I've got any. Hopefully I haven't. And all the ones I do have are real. And then I fill up my Pokedex, and I get the, I think it's the Shiny Charm that we got at the end of Black and White 2, which I think hopefully we're getting at the end of this one, since we get the Oval Charm for getting the National Dex, the Kalos Dex, and, But yeah, I mean, hopefully so. But, I mean, it would be nice, to have the full, national decks complete. I mean, I now have every TM in the game, all the technical machines. I got them about a week or so ago. So there was a couple I was missing. I have now got every single O-Power. I had to get, the last one I needed was the Hatchin O-Power, which basically means it's... just putting stuff off the mic. It means I get, it makes it easier for when I'm hatching eggs. It doesn't take so long. Even when I have a Pokemon, I'm using, Fletch Finder at the moment, I think, to use with its, Flame Body, I think it is, or Flame Armor, something like that. And it basically cuts down the time it takes to hatch eggs. I mean, when I do complete the Kalos decks, I will get the Oval Charm, which will increase the amount of eggs I do get, which makes it easier for Pokemon that don't like each other. And, hopefully I should get through breeding perfect IV Pokemon on pretty much every single one a lot quicker. I mean, I've stopped breeding my competitive team because there's no real hurry, to be honest. I mean, I was literally just found out about this today. We did have the, because I know I talked about this a little while ago, we did have the UK winter event, which, I couldn't have gone to because it was in a secret location, which is kind of bullshit, to be honest. Well, basically, it was a small room and, they didn't want to sell tickets. But yeah, so that happened and there was a winner and, I don't fucking care. But, I will eventually sort of make up, a proper competitive team. But, I mean, the VGC National Tournament's not till at least June, so I've got plenty of time. But in that time, I will be, trying to breed perfect Pokemon of the ones that I want and, I mean, even some of them, it's kind of tricky. I'm using Smogon and a bunch of other places just to get the right moves. I've talked to people on various Facebook pages and Facebook groups, just trying to get perfects of everything. So basically, I sort of can be a Pokemon master. Just need to actually start doing well in the national tournaments and go on to Worlds and win that. And, I probably would be. But yeah, I mean, having a lot of fun with Pokemon still. I mean, I was getting a bit bored, but now I'm just sort of brooding stuff for... perfect IVs. It takes a lot of time away, and it's something to do, to be honest. I mean, there's nothing else I'm playing at the moment. There's nothing really to play, as I said, but that's pretty much it. I think that's it, really. Nothing that's really doing it for me at the moment. I mean, I get paid this week, so I might go and look for something. I mean, I'm off work Friday. I'll have a look, but But yeah, I'll go into this week's topic, which is about PC gaming. Not exactly gaming itself, but how it will stack up against the new consoles, against the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. Now, I mean, I have been meaning to this for a while, and I'm looking forward to talking about this. I'm not a PC gamer as such. I think I did sign up to Steam, I think a while ago. I did sign up to Steam about 2 years ago. I think that's as far as I got. There has been no real interest in me to play PC games. It's not something I'm that fussed about. I mean, when I went to the Eurogamer Expo back in, I think it was September, I think it was. I mean, there was a lot of PC stuff there, and it was sort of, like my kryptonite. I was sort of, walked near it. Keyboard, mouse, I'll walk away. I'm not afraid of it or anything. It's just I've never really been a PC gamer. So basically, what do I press? Whereas, you know, to me, it's literally, yeah, can I have a controller, please? And not, okay, what buttons? Is it that? And, you know, and then end up, you know, crashing the game or whatever. But, you know, basically this whole thing sort of topic is basically how PC gaming will compete against, you know, because it is a four-tier it's a four-horse race. It's literally, we've got, you know, your PC, you've got your PlayStation 4, you've got your Xbox One. We can say the Wii U. Wii U is not a next-gen console, and basically Nintendo are sort of dropping by the wayside. Yeah, I know that. Fans in the chat says, well, these days you can use a controller on the PC. Yeah, I know that. I mean, mate does it all the time. But it's just, you know, at the Eurogame ruin, there was nothing like that. So otherwise it was, because they were showing off like Elder Scrolls Online, a bunch of other indie stuff on PCs, probably on Steam. But it's like, I'm not, you know, it's literally, you know, I'm left-handed. It's like me trying to sort of, you know, do something right-handed. But, you know, it was a bit tricky for me, that's all. But, no, I mean, I wonder about, you know, I mean, the main thing about this is basically it's going to be the graphics. As with PCs, as we all know, it's a constant, this was years ago, my mum was with us buying a PC for the old home. And, you know, it was basically, the bloke said, as soon as we get it out the door, it's outdated. And, you know, that, to be honest, most of the stuff they did have in store was outdated anyway. But there's always a constant rush of new cards, you know, motherboards, graphics cards, sound cards. There's always stuff that's getting better and better. And, you know, what happens with consoles is they take certain cards and basically just chuck it into a box, and there we have a new console, which we have, you know, the Xbox One. It has newer cards and bits and chips and all that sort of stuff than, say, the Xbox 360 does. But, I mean, will there be a day? I mean, because to be honest, we can only go so far with this sort of stuff. We can only push graphics to a certain extent. I mean, I'm thinking about how Forza 5 looked when I saw this. I think it was on Game Trailers, the review, and they were showing about. It wasn't a review. It was it wasn't even on Game Trailers. I think it was on YouTube somewhere. Basically, it was a comparison video between Forza 4. How that looked on the 360 compared to how, Forza 5 looked on the Xbox One. Fan in chat says, well, what I do consider a huge pro for PC is community modding with Skyrim, I believe, in being huge there. But I do hear you for the most part. I consider myself a pad. That's the big. That is the big pro point for PC. It's the community modding. I mean, I've seen so many videos of like Skyrim and Grand Theft Auto. So Grand Theft Auto, I've seen the Back to Future car. I've seen, you know, not Skyrim. Grand Theft Auto is the Back to Future. I've seen Skyrim where the main character is dressed up like Iron Man. You know, I've seen tons of stuff, and that's the good point for the PC when it comes to the modding community, because that is what a lot of us who play, you know, as Fenn said, Oblivion, Skyrim, you know, Morrowind back in the day on consoles, we lacked the modding community when it comes to stuff like, what was I saying? I'm losing track of my mind. But no, sorry, I'm thinking random thoughts at the same time. ADD is a bitch. But no, I think about, I think it was Oblivion or Morrowind. I can't remember. I saw this once about how someone had built a house in either one of the games, and basically that becomes a feature in, well, a bit late, but in Skyrim we could build our own houses to how we sort of wanted. But yeah, I mean, most of these ideas and mods and stuff like that all get taken from the community and put into the games at a later stage. I mean, you know, Skyrim had you build your own house, which was in Oblivion and which was in Morrowind as mods. I mean, I wouldn't mind if we could do something like that in the next Fallout, which I have a news article. fancy, sorry, I'm derailing. No, I've got fucking ADD like you wouldn't believe. It's hard enough trying to keep one thought in my head, let alone two. But no, I mean, I like the modding community. I am jealous of, because they get access to stuff, you know, as the PC side. But you know, that is one of the points that we won't have on the consoles, because I think Microsoft are a bit sort of judgmental on that sort of stuff. Even though they make PCs, that's weird, isn't it? I mean, you know, Sony has a gripe about it as well, I believe. Nintendo, I think they're too busy trying to get people to make games for their consoles to worry about modding. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The performance issues as well, that is the main thing for this little segment, is, you know, as I said, how far can we push it? Well, you know, I've already explained about the comparison fact that, you know, the consoles, you know, they take these cards and whatever and chuck it into a box, and that is what, you know, developers use to, you know, make new games on. So, right, we need to set it for this graphic, kind of graphics, that, you know, that sort of stuff. Whereas with PC stuff, as it's always evolving, as I said, it's always evolving and changing. Graphics are getting better and better, but I mean, just there is only going to be so far we go with graphics. I mean, we get new gimmicks all the time for stuff. I mean, you know, 3D, that's a fucking gimmick. It's not a genuine thing that we should be taking seriously, but it's a gimmick. I mean, you know, and well, I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering now that whether Kinect is a gimmick or it's a serious thing. I mean, if there was games for it that would be worth playing, it could be taken seriously. But I think it is a gimmick as well. I mean, I'm happier to play with a controller than rather just, you know, waving my hands in the air. But no, I mean, when it comes to sort of, you know, how PCs are evolving. I mean, how good do we want graphics to be? I mean, I've been watching anime all day because I'm trying to find something decent to watch. I've been going through some romantic animes and then this slice of life stuff. But yeah, I found something on YouTube, Clannad, and it was like the Arthur story, which is the second series, and it was like 720p, how good it looked on my TV, pretty much crystal clear, perfect, spot on. And it was like, wow, this is great. I thought about today's topic. I was like, well, PC, how far are we pushing PC graphics? I mean, you know, sound, you know, I don't know, how crystal clear do we want it? Considering that each human has, you know, different hearing, you know, someone's hearing is better than mine, or mine is better than someone else's, that sort of stuff. I think about power, how quick and running. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Even though, you know, with the PCs, when it comes to building them, I did try that once. I bought a whole load of books, but never got around to actually bothering to build my own PC. But, you know, I learned a few things, read some stuff, you know, whatever. But no, I think about, We're only going to need it to do so much. I mean, the graphics is as far as we can push it visually, and the audio and stuff. There's going to be a limit on the audio because there's no need for, you know, you've heard something. I mean, I think about people who've made, you know, make the discussions about, you know, LPs are better than CDs or LPs are better than tapes, and then tapes are better than, you know, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I think about, you know, the graphics is like, I'm just looking at it. There's so much information my eyes can take in. So when it comes to stuff like that, it's, you know, the graphics will be pushed to a certain limit. It's, you know, crystal clear 1080p. I mean, you know, that if that's 1080p is the actual benchmark of, I think it was a benchmark, is that the right term? But basically, as far as we can sort of, I've just literally just shooting my hand straight out in the air right now. If that's as far as we can go with the stuff, what else? I mean, what else can we, how far can we push it before, you know, I mean, it's weird, right? I'm just thinking now about it because Sean said about wanting me to talk about the Steam Box. But I'm thinking, Steam Box, it's a custom set. That's an interesting thought. It's a custom set. The Steam Box is a custom set of, it's a, Steam has said, right, we want this cards and, you know, sound cards, graphics cards, blah, blah, blah. Or we chuck it in a box. It plays PC games. But, to be honest, doesn't that sort of become, in a way, you can say, a console, sort of? Even though, you know, I can say, well, you know, console games are different to PC games. But, say, we get, you know, Skyrim, Finn, put out, said earlier. you know, Skyrim came out on PC, Xbox, PlayStation. It comes out on Steam. You know, it's a pretty much a similar thing. I can use that as a game that transitions all three systems. You know, well, four systems in this case, with, you know, Xbox, PlayStation, Steam Box, and PC, main PC. But is it limiting itself when it comes to stuff like this? If we are limiting. We are limiting how far we push stuff when you basically box it like the Steam Box, the Xbox, and the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, you know, that sort of stuff. But that's the thing. I sort of wonder how, if by the time we get the Xbox 2, if that's what I'm going to call it, or the PlayStation 5, which is probably what it'd be called anyway, will the PC be at its limits? Because, I mean, PCs have been going for 30-odd years now in modding, that sort of, you know, current changing ins and outs and bits and pieces to keep upgrading. But, you know, there's a limit for everything. I mean, as we're finding out with human nature, with, you know, energy, that's, you know, energy, fossil fuels, that sort of stuff. But I'm saying with PCs, we'll be, I think, I want to say that we'll be at the limit by the time it comes to the next... you know, the end of the end of this console, this new current console generation. I mean, I can't really see them pushing stuff any further than the way we have it. I mean, we'll still get maybe that is the thing with the ultimate life cycle is the PC. It's you know, ever changing hardware, same old software. Eventually, you know. I mean, we're getting a new Thief game, which I think is probably technically Thief 4 or 5. But that's, you know, it's going to be coming out on the next gen current gen consoles and the PC, which, you know, I'm looking forward to this game. Fences, what is discussion about the limits of the PC is about as old as the PC itself. So, no, I actually doubt it. Well, you know, I wonder, you know. I mean, I'm probably wrong. It will probably just push itself. You know, PC will go further onto the next console generation for the PlayStation 5. You know, whatever the Xbox is. But it's like, well, how even then, even at the end of say the PlayStation 5s, will it be a limit then? It's like, how far can we keep pushing and pushing? And then eventually, at the end of it, you know, at the end of the rainbow, are we going to have, you know, the whatever future PC box, the Steam box, the PC box, or you know, will it be? What is the final limit? What is the final, you know, as you know, what is the final level cap for PC? What, you know, how far can it be taken? I mean, I'm not fussed. I'm looking forward to finding out. I mean, you know, we're having a lot of new innovations with PC, a lot of touchscreen stuff. I mean, I need to get myself a new laptop, another laptop, and I've seen this one's got touchscreen. That seems pretty fun, but it's kind of weird thinking that I've got to push my hand out even further to touch the screen, whereas I can just put my hand out a little bit. It's right in front of me on the keyboard. But you know, I wonder about this stuff. I do. It makes me wonder. You know, without it, I wouldn't have a topic and wouldn't have a show. But I mean, you know, is graphics the only modifier that will be the main precipice, as the main, I don't know, foothold? I don't know, I can't remember those terms, I have no idea what they mean. But, you know, I've said about, you know, graphics, sound, so far we can take that. I mean, just battery, the fans, battery, and all the technical components, which is totally slipping my mind. Yeah, but, here's another thing as well. So for PC, you know, PC gamers and listeners, do you think we'll see more PC titles come over to consoles? So I think about this because this was one of the questions in the about the fact that when they said about Crysis, that will never come to consoles. It's too powerful. It'll never come to consoles. And it's like, well, we had Crysis. We had Crysis 2 first, and then we had Crysis. They brought that out, and now we have Crysis 3, which came out I think this year. It's like, will it become Oh, I'm breaking up a bit, am I? Hang on one second, let me check the old thing. No, I'm still live. It's probably just sort of knocking the microphone. But yeah, I mean, I wonder about... what the hell is it? I wonder about PC gaming. Will it, you know, will PC games stay, some games stay exclusively to what you call it, to the PC? Or, you know, we've seen now with stuff like Crysis, you know, PC exclusive games that are only for PC, which have come over to consoles. But with the current hardware and technology that we have inside, inside the consoles, we can play some of the PC quality graphics and, you know, I mean, as I say, you know, Crysis, it will never come, but it has. You know, will Fallout 4, when that eventually comes out in 2015, will that look as good as it does on the PC, on a console, more than likely? You know, other stuff as well. I mean, you know, it does lead to other stuff about, you know, we do have some MMOs. We have, like, you know, I think Final Fantasy XI is still going with a few people. We have Final Fantasy XIV on the PlayStation 4, and DC Universe. That's doing pretty well on the PlayStation 3 at the moment, and I think it's coming to the PlayStation 4 as well. I think the ninth expansion just came out, or it's coming out. I saw something on this on while I was doing some show prep today. And then we have, what else? What's the next one? Elder Scrolls Online, that's supposed to be coming out on our consoles as well. You know, just sort of other stuff, you know, all bits and pieces together. But yeah, I know, I wouldn't mind if we did get, you know, this sort of stuff, PC games that has usually been console only, PC only rather, coming to consoles. I think about stuff now, I think about Steam, all the Steam games. If some of those people who make the games that go on Steam, maybe chuck them onto the you know, Xbox Live Marketplace or the PlayStation Store. I don't know, chuck them on there, get yourself, make a bit of money for people who don't want to play, you know. But I suppose that's all based on their developers and how they want to market their games and that sort of stuff. But then you've got to deal with how much Microsoft charges for, you know, putting their games up, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it's just one of those many thoughts that sort of make me wonder about, you know, where the PC industry is going. I mean, you know, we have some of the consoles, you know, Sega killed their console died. It's just one of those things. What was the other thing I was looking for? Twitch.tv. It's not PC related as such, but I wonder about the game streaming services, like video streaming. I'm talking about, you know, like Twitch, like I said. Is that a big focus for people? I wonder about. You know, I mean, I watch a lot of videos on YouTube of, you know, Pokemon stuff. I watch Eligible Monster, who you should all subscribe to. Really great people. I like watching videos on tournaments and stuff. I mean, because I said, you know, I watch tons of Pokemon videos of battles and stuff like that. It makes me wonder, because we've seen a whole lot of this. I mean, the big talk we had during E3 this year was basically from Sony and Microsoft about video streaming services, how you can sort of make videos, edit them, and then chuck them onto Twitch, or what the hell was it, Gaikai, what the PlayStation's got. But yeah, I wonder about this sort of stuff. I mean, is it a big factor for people? Do people really care? I mean, I'm sort of half and half. I mean, I don't really care as much about the people's videos, but I mean, it's nice to have videos out there for the stuff I'm interested in. I mean, you know, I'll watch my Pokemon videos. I'll watch, you know, gameplay of like a boss that I can't get past, so I don't know how to beat it. But some person's put up a video on how to beat certain boss. It makes me wonder what the whole big the big focus from you know, the gaming companies is. I mean, is this a gimmick? Is this something that we actually look forward to, or Yeah, I mean, I say with Twitch, I didn't really know what it was until I think it was, Kyle, who did Leak Speakers, which isn't on the station anymore. He was telling me about Twitch, the fact that so many people subscribe to it. It's like, I'd never heard of it, because it's basically a PC-based thing. And then I watched, when I was doing some show prep, there was some guy who was fucking really boring. He was streaming him playing Pokemon, but he's basically just breeding eggs like I've been doing for the past week. It's like, yeah, that's you're just basically streaming, you run a bicycle up and down the same stretch for about 2 hours. It's like, you know, that's not very interesting. But, you know, people have their own channels and they can, you know, view stuff. And then, you know, it does lead to the culture of basically creating, sort of internet celebrities, which is makes me grit my teeth when I try and say that sort of shit. We need a new army of arseholes like Rebecca Black and all that sort of crap that come out, and, you know, annoying girlfriend or whatever the sort of shit. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to have the ability to sort of, I think the good point that I'm actually thinking is to see the videos that someone's done about how to do certain things that I find tricky. But I couldn't sit down and watch, this thing was saying what I say with pro gaming as well, which is, I think, part of the Twitch thing. I couldn't sit down and watch someone play a game that I have, like a live sort of thing, because it's like, well, shit, I'm watching you play this, and now all Twitch and YouTube and stuff has apps on, you know, Xbox and the PlayStations. It's like, we can watch it on the big screen tellies that we have in our house. Why would we do that when I could be playing the game myself? It's one of those things, you know, sort of the problems I had with it. But, you know, for simple things like, well, this is help, you know, it's help, it helps me, helps you how to get past a certain part. It's like, well, great, YouTube's already been doing that. Why should we give Twitch or what other sort of streaming sites a look in, basically? I mean, I think everyone seems to be, pleased with how Twitch and Gaikai is going on. But, you know, I just don't see the point. I don't see the usage of it. It's just not something that, you know, I just don't get it. I really don't. I mean, it's nice to have and that people can use it, but I just, you know, I mean, like the whole thing with Twitch, I think, is still a PC-focused thing, because with PCs, you can have one window open playing your game, and you can have another window open on another screen, on a separate monitor, that shows off, what's going on with, you know, some League of Legends tournament, or some shit like that, I don't know. Fans and chat says, I don't really understand that either, but for example, I have a girlfriend that actually states she likes to watch other people playing games rather than play them herself. See, I think about that, well, that's true. I kind of find it hard to believe that you've got a girlfriend. No, I'm kidding. But no, I find it hard. It's like, you know, with certain games that I'm going to watch myself, you know, as I said, with Resistance 2, I might as well just sit here and watch someone play Resistance 3 just to get a look in on what it is, as I sit and play Pokemon and breed some more eggs. But, that's good to do. I mean, you know, as I said a few weeks ago, I've started playing Final Fantasy VIII again, which I need to sort of get back into, which I've been putting off this week. But yeah, I mean, I could sit here, if it's a short game, you know, like, you know, 7-8 hours, I wouldn't mind just doing that for Fen wasn't too happy with my comment. No, but I mean, I can sit here and watch someone play, you know, like Resistance 3 for a couple of hours. But so if I wanted to just watch someone play Final Fantasy, I'd need to go to the kitchen and get the matchsticks out the drawer and shuck them under my eyes just to keep my eyes open so I don't fall asleep watching this, you know. As I said, I've got ADD. I've got a hard enough attention span as it is. It's literally, you know, sort of, I know that, during the summer, I was sort of talking to you lot, and I saw an attractive woman look out the window. I was like, oh, wow, look at her. But, you know, that means fuck all to you, because you're listening. But, you know, it's one of those things, as the show's going on, my mind wanders, and so do my eyes. But, you know, it's one of those things, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, you know, we have the controller with, you know, Kinect. I have no problem use the controller to press buttons to do stuff rather than to wave my hands about to do something which takes me twice as long, which has been proven by several other people that I have I talk to and all that sort of stuff, I interact with, in the gaming community. But, when it comes to the video stuff, it's like, I mean, the streaming tournaments is good because I did watch, not live, obviously, but I did watch last year's Pokemon National tournament in Canada. That was actually quite good. But, I mean, it's going to look so much better this year with the new graphics that we have in the place with Pokemon X and Y. But, League of Legends is taking off more exponentially each day, getting better and better, which I don't understand the point of the whole fucking game, to be honest. But, I mean... StarCraft 2, that sort of stuff. I mean, we have these big PC games that basically you have millions of people playing, mainly based out of Korea. And it's, I don't understand it. I don't have the love for games like StarCraft or League of Legends, like certain. Dutcher Royce, which is coming up later, he loves StarCraft, big fan of StarCraft. And Kyle, who was on League Speakers, he's a big fan of League of Legends. And several other people I know are fans of League of Legends. I'm just sort of not a big fan enough to get it. Because it's pro gaming. I just don't get it. I'm not a big sports fan either. I'm healthy enough. I eat a lot of salad. Usually on top of a kebab. I don't get the whole thing for... I mean, yes, I play Pokemon competitively, but I wouldn't consider myself a pro gamer at playing Pokemon. A competitive gamer, yes, but not a professional. I don't go around the country to various Pokemon tournaments and say, yes, I am going to play to all... I'm not like that. That's kind of stupid. If I had that money, I would. But I have to say, I saw something about now. Someone mentioned this once about all these pro gaming, Call of Duty teams, and it's like, yeah, it's nice they can spend 10 hours a day playing Call of Duty and getting better and better. But the likes of me, Fan, Kinez, who's buggered off, and Matty, and Royce, and Dutch, and Mersh. We have lives. We can't, I know Mersh would love to sit down playing Skyrim all day. But we don't have the time to sit and play and get better and better at that stuff. We just basically, we have lives. We have to earn money to pay for this shit. We can't sit around and, was it League of Legends? Was it $1 million that was given away as a prize? I'm like, why would you give so much money? There's so much bullshit around this sort of stuff anyway. But yeah, I mean that's the big thing, that irks me about pro gaming. It's an annoyance. I don't have a problem too much with the tournament stuff. I mean, I like, if it's to do with me, I'm interested, which is basically why I'm not interested in League of Legends and Call of Duty and stuff. But I said to you last week about my mate who was contacted by some Major League Gaming team and they wanted him to play Call of Duty with them. And it's like, well, shit, I've watched a load of Call of Duty. I mean, when we had the big Xbox One live event, I think somewhere, Major Douchebag Nelson, he was with some sort of best European Call of Duty team. So I was like, yeah, that's nice. They're about 16 or 17. They obviously don't work for a living. And it's... basically, yes, watching them play is exactly the same as I play, because it's run, gun, shoot. It's Call of Duty. It's the rinse and repeat. It's the same shit that we've been getting. And that's the thing. Some of these games don't evolve. They pretty much keep the same, whatever. I mean, trust, we all have good games. We have bad games. I mean, my best game of Call of Duty, I think, was on Call of Duty before Modern Warfare. I think I got about 22 kills. No, 19, I think it was 19 kills, and 3 deaths. I was on fire. Literally, it was doing really well, and people were saying you had a really good game. I was like, that's the best I've ever done, and that's the best I ever will be. We have good games, we have bad games. It depends. It's, that's it. With stuff like Call of Duty, basically run and gun games in general, it's pretty much, you run out into the middle of the open, if someone's there, they see you, you're going to get shot. You hide. Maybe someone sneaks up behind you. If you're a closed-in area, they'll stab you. It's, you know, every game's different. Nothing's set in stone. If you get better, you practice and practice, but, we'll wait and see. I say pretty much comes to the end of the topic, but we'll take a break in a second, because I've got a ton of news. I need to get to it. There's so much stuff I missed out last week, even though last week was news only topic. And next week, I think, probably be news as well, because I've got so much. I do 2 hours, and it seems like 2 hours is never enough. But yeah, I mean, next week, I don't think there'll be a topic. I think I'll just do new stuff. But we have the Game of the Year show coming up the week after, on 31st of December. So basically, think about what you've been playing all year. Write yourself a list, points and pros and cons. Get yourself in the Facebook groups, facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. I would love to read your comments. I will, if you put a comment in there, I will read it on the air. You can email us at antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Tell me what you've been playing, what you like, what you don't like, that sort of stuff. Also, I am going to add over or hyped games of the year. What games have you played that you haven't liked, that you feel have been overhyped? I know what mine is, and I will tell you that in about 2 weeks. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the Game of the Year show. It's going to be pretty fun. I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. But I'll be back in about 10 minutes. Also have a promo in this one, new promo from Talk Radio Meltdown, which my good friend Jack, which you should listen to his show because it's amazing and he's been doing it for donkey's years and hasn't got any better. No, I'm kidding. But listen to these breaks and I'll be back in about 10 minutes.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least 2 extra numbers and 1 extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow is always their dick. He reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe!
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Insane.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars?
Oh.
Who are you joining there?
Oh well, Hippo Juice. They're the soul behind More
right.
Like Radio.
and we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, this song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Yeah. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to CZWrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Bounce, down, bounce, down. Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down. Wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Here's your tea.
Thank you.
You're up early.
No, I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Put him up back. What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout?
Did you want something?
No. Not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. Came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, is that another women's magazine?
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, what, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. T-Fury. Buy stuff from them. I should have said this last week when I bought it. But yeah, I've ordered a T-shirt. At, if anyone knows Akira, the basically Akira logo with, not Tetsuo, the guy who drives the red bike. Basically, it's a sort of Final Fantasy VII shirt, styled like that, but it's instead of the guy who's with the red bike, it's Cloud from Final Fantasy VII getting onto his bike from the Advent Children movie. And where it says Akira, it says Cloud. And I bought that. It should be here in about a month, because it has to come from all the way from the States. But yeah, so it's a really nice looking shirt, and I'll take pictures as soon as it arrives. But yeah, so you know, get your shirts from T-Fury, they're pretty good. But yeah, I say... as I'm back now from the break, I will get into some news. There's a whole bunch of stuff, which I sort of ran out on last week. I'll go through the main systems first. We'll start off with Nintendo. There's a bunch of stuff on them. Basically, I got this from... hang on, this fucking ad blocker thing. There we go. Got this from Games Radar. This is from about a week or so ago. It says, it's time for Nintendo to admit defeat and make a true next-gen console. Wii U is in big trouble, according to a CVG News. Analysts are confidently predicting that Nintendo will fail to meet its projected sales target of 9 million consoles by the end of 2013. Holy shit. They're also predicting profit projections will be missed, and it will only ever sell a quarter of the number of units. It will only ever sell a quarter of the number of units its predecessor, the Wii did. Startlingly, the PlayStation 4 has already sold Wii U's lifetime sales to date in the UK. PlayStation 4? PlayStation 3. I doubt it. I took them in, yes, sorry. Wii U's only sold about 2 million, roughly. Yeah, but bar an increasingly incredible turnaround for Nintendo, the war is already lost, and I think it's time to admit defeat and move on. Yeah, basically, it seems like they're going through the the Xbox had, and basically the Xbox was ditched in favour of the Xbox 360, and it made Microsoft tons and tons of money. It was a really good console. I'm not questioning the quality of Nintendo's Wii U software or that to the console itself. Pikmin 3 kept me glued to my TV like little else while I reviewed it for GamesRadar. This is from the reviewer. Lego City Undercover was so good I felt compelled to give it 100%, of course. Super Mario 3D World. Super Mario 3D World looks actually really good, but I don't see the point in playing it on a Wii U. I'd rather just, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm thinking about picking up the 3DS version of that game anyway. Super Mario 3D World has received a 9 out of 10s from basically most of its critics. Like Cooper said in his article, Nintendo does need more great games, even though the current lineup is far from a disaster. So I'm questioning the head in the sand attitude Nintendo's publicly displaying. Part of me admires Iwata for declaring that Nintendo never follows trends because it prefers to set them instead, which, you know, you can sort of agree with. If you look at the PlayStation 3 and its the controllers, those dildo thingies. By steadfastly refusing to make a console that caters to needs and taste of everyday gamers, surely that's thinking is just plain stubborn. But yeah, I agree. You know, there's tons more to this article, and basically, it's pretty much Nintendo needs to get their asses in gear and make something for the rest of us to play. I mean, it's all right that it's nice that you want to be, you know, do things at your own pace. But thing is, though, your pace is, well, of a snail. And basically, Microsoft and Sony are driving McLaren F1s. They do need a modern console, you know, to compete against what we have now. But thing is, though, as I've said many times with this Nintendo stuff, Nintendo will only make... Well, that's the thing. Maybe, right, I'll go into what I was going to say. Nintendo only has games on their consoles that are first party. You know, you get your Metroids, you get your Marios, you get Pokemon, Star Fox, Link, you know, Legend of Zelda. You know, basically Kirby, Donkey Kong, all the basic titles and characters that Nintendo are known for. But if Nintendo did basically make a next-gen, current-gen console, which basically had pretty much similar specs to the 360, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, would other developers actually think, yeah, okay, we'll port this game to the whatever Nintendo's going to call their next console? More than likely, and they would make a load of money. I mean, it's a bit tricky on... I don't know. I mean, would it be harder for the other companies to make, with EA put in, FIFA? What the fuck are we on now? 14? FIFA 15 on the next Nintendo console, as well as the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One? Probably not, but maybe. I don't know. But I don't deal with development. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice if, you know, Nintendo, as I said in that article, you know, took their head out of the sand and actually bothered, you know, just making stuff that, you know, we want to play games for. You know, as I said with the, you know, I said before the break about the Kinect, it's like, there we go. Yeah, it's not the controls that, you know, we don't need a Kinect thing, we just need a controller. You know, just give us a way to play games quite easily, you know. It's literally, from the way I'm looking at it now, Nintendo can turn themselves around overnight. Just design yourself a new console. I've said this before. Call it the Nintendo. Simple as the Nintendo. You know, that's the name of their console, the name of their company. It's going to be called the Nintendo. Put modern cards, graphics, all that chipset bullshit I was talking about on the PC stuff. Chuck it in a box. Brand it Nintendo. Have some HD graphic games, 720p, 1080p, you know, all the peas you can get. And there you go. It's not hard. I love it, this stuff. It's so fucking simple. I'm a fucking idiot. But, you know, I can figure this shit out. But, you know, it's just so simple to do with these, with this stuff. It's easy to, it's so easy. I don't see how Nintendo's making shit tons of money at the moment with Pokemon. I mean, I'm getting loads of street passes from people who are playing Pokemon left, right and center. But it would be nice, you know, if, the hell is this fucking thing popped up? God's sake. Bloody addy shit. But yeah, no, I mean, Nintendo seriously need to do something, otherwise they might as well just basically go the route of stuff like people like Sega and just give it a break. But this other article comes from Games Radar as well. Nintendo's next gen problem is a lack of games, not lack of power. This article came out before the one I just read. This week, Nintendo's Reggie Thelemy cited history as a way to defend the Wii U's position against the oncoming Xbox One and PlayStation 4. In the interview with Forbes, he said, "The interesting thing that there is, if you're looking at the two hardware cycles, it was not the most powerful machine that won." Hang on, what's he saying? "The interesting thing there is, if you look at the last two hardware cycles, it was not the most powerful machine that won, not in the case of the PlayStation 2, not in the case of the Wii." And he's not wrong. PlayStation 2 sold 150 million units worldwide, making it the best-selling console of all time. And the Wii, despite being significantly less powerful than the HD competitor, sold over 100 million units. For reference, the second place, PlayStation 3, sold 80 million units through October. In 2003. But for Nintendo, it's to have any chance in this battle. Well, yeah, thing is, that's the marketing. That's the thing. The marketing was there for the Wii. I mean, I was seeing ads all over the place and commercials about, you know, about families sitting together. I mean, Jesus Christ, where do you find a family that's not, you know, a non-broken family these days? But yeah, it's the marketing. It's just, you know, ads and commercials all over the place about Mario. It's like, yeah, you remember Mario. We played with some kid, yeah, and now we can, you know, the grown-ups who aren't, you know, sort of people my age or older who aren't hardcore gamers. Now, the casual market, yeah, they grew up playing Mario, you know. Well, yeah, let's go play Mario. You know, this is what we loved as a kid. Those are the ones who are buying it. But you want something for the hardcore gamers. I mean, otherwise, you know, because the Wii U isn't doing it for either the casual or the hardcore. Why do I have to look at a screen and a pad at the same time? It's confusing. But for Nintendo to have any chance in this battle, it's going to have to start actually producing games and giving people real reason to pick them up on the system. Make no mistake, the Wii U is mere months away from being in third place. Hey, hang on. The Wii U is mere months away from being in third place. It is in third place. What are you talking about? Despite getting a year-long head start, while technically in the lead as of now, no, it's not, Nintendo only managed to ship 4 million systems in the first year, a number that both Sony and Microsoft track to outpace. Considering that both Sony and Microsoft have sold over 2 million units of their console, and that's in about, what, a month? You know? And the Wii U did, what, four million in the first year? Yeah, Nintendo, you're in third place. Just because you've had a year-long head start, you should have capitalised on that. But where was I? Jogging pace, acronyms. But more importantly, Reggie's logic is as full of holes as a Dalmatian. That wasn't me making the shitty joke. That was Games Radar. My jokes are normally shittier than that. Pointing out that the least powerful hardware won for the past two generations is like saying that Top Ramen is the best food in the world because it sells like crazy. Well, you know, it's King's best. King from The Gentleman Show, that's his favourite food anyway, so tough. he's probably the one who buys it all. Sure, it's technically true that the least powerful system was also the best selling, but those two things aren't actually as connected as it might seem. Correlation does not imply causation and the lack of power isn't actually related to success, and it's all about the games. Of course it's about the games. But the thing is, though, what they're saying here about least powerful system and the PlayStation 2 selling 150 million units, well, that's because now we have a good set number of how much the PlayStation 2 set, considering the fact that they don't make them anymore and no one sells them. And the last game to come out was PlayStation 2 was FIFA 14. But we still have the Xbox, they're still making Xbox 360s and PlayStation 3s. We've still got a few years to go before those numbers can be counted in. I mean, I wouldn't mind saying when the numbers are finally cut off at when the machines are stopped being made and sold. What happens with that? I'd like to see some comparison numbers between the last two console generations, considering the fact that we have online play and all this sort of stuff is collecting more gamers around the world than basically me going to a mate's house with a PlayStation 2 game and saying, yeah, you can borrow this, I'll borrow something from you. Whereas now it's everyone has around the world, plays it, and we can play together, that sort of stuff. Sorry, one second. Fan in the chat says, about the Wii U. Says he couldn't even name three Wii U games. Basically what I was going to try and do as well. So apart from the Wild Guess, Mario, Legend of Zelda, and Donkey Kong. You've got Donkey Kong's, was it Frozen Wonderland or whatever the hell that was? I saw it at the Eurogamer Expo. But yeah, we got the Mario game that I just said, and Skyward Sword. There's three, but that's the obvious ones. There's nothing else for the system. But would you buy a Nintendo console to play games that weren't Nintendo characters? Would you play FIFA 14, 15 or Madden on a Wii U or whatever Nintendo console? If your friends had it, then maybe, but that's the thing. People are going to go for the Sony console, the Microsoft console. They're not going to go for something that's on Nintendo. The thing is, Nintendo has built itself into such a niche market, basically being that their mascot characters are the characters and people that you will... I've just read something from Fenn that I'm not allowed to speak to say on air, but that's bloody funny. Somebody kick him out of the chat room. Nintendo has built itself into... I just read what Fenn read. I'm going to be laughing at that all night. Told me not to read it, so I'm not going to. Maybe if I get a bit bored later, I will. I think about the original Xbox, when that first came out, one of the main reasons I bought it was basically to play Shenmue 2, because that game wasn't coming out on anything else, and I really wanted to play that game because I loved the first one on the Dreamcast. Have I been anything like that with any else? I just don't think that there's any other console that I've bought mainly just for the one game, but that was it. Not really. I mean, there's been games that have got me to play stuff because it looked interesting. I mean, I bought a PlayStation. I bought a PlayStation originally to play Final Fantasy VII on it. I know I bought an Xbox 360 to play Mass Effect on it, but yeah, that was so I couldn't really tell you any other games that I played on the original Xbox. I think Halo. There was a couple of things. I mean, I know I played more games on my GameCube than I did on my original Xbox. But I mean, to be honest, the only thing I bought. What's the thing? Probably the same actually. I think about Rogue Squadron. That was probably the only stuff any game I really bought on my GameCube, just to play it on that. But I don't know. I need to move on because literally I've got so much stuff and I'm stuck on Nintendo as usual. Yeah, Fan Chat says bought PlayStation 2 for GTA 3. Yeah, you know, people do that. But yeah, I mean, I can't stand Reggie. That guy's such a knob. I see his face, I just want to punch him in the head. What else we got? Let's have a look. Let's change it up. See if, what have we got from Nintendo? No, bunch of usual bullshit. Here we go. Last of Us movie, they've got a domain registered, so that's a bit of news gone. Here we go. Let's have a PlayStation from Sony. From Games Radar, has the Remote Play and the PlayStation 4 given the Vita a new lease of life? Sony's handheld games business has been in decline for a number of years now. Since the PlayStation, since the PSP came out. But there's no denying its continued importance to the PlayStation ecosystem. Nowhere is this clearer than in the unexpected journey Sony has taken with the Vita, a machine the company has transformed since its first revealed in 2011. It was always going to be tough to match the success of the PSP. Fuck you. The PSP was never successful. Nobody loved the PSP. Nobody liked that machine. It was a piece of shit. Nobody liked it. Which overachieved by selling in excess of 75 million units. Wow, that did well then. But 75 million units. I knew one guy who had one, and he played Liberty City Stories. But, you know, I don't... just put that... 75 million units. See, right. Half these numbers that we do get, I question. Because, I mean, when Microsoft came out and said they sold, was it 20 million, you know, as you, in the old intro, you know, one of the early shows you hear about the Kinect sold, was it 20 million units? I don't believe that. I don't believe how, Fan had one. Yeah, but you also had a Wii and a balance board, so fuck you. there goes what I shouldn't have said. But no, I was, you know, I did actually want to buy myself, Fan had the PSP for the GTA games, yes. But apart from that, you know, I couldn't, you know, I'm in Fan's boat now. We talk about, you know, with the Wii U, you know, I could, apart from the Grand Theft Auto games and, was it Metal Gear Solid Acid, which I think was only good if you were on acid, That's the only really games that I could probably name on the PlayStation Portable. But 75 million units. I don't believe that. I don't believe that in the slightest. Considering that people basically, I think, was it the PlayStation Plus sold, PlayStation Portable, the PSP sold, I think it was like, 1-3 against the DS, the original DS. I don't really believe that. But Sony Computer Entertainment UK managing director Fergal Gara, he sounds like a character from Naruto, puts it kindly last week when describing Vita in an interview with Digital Spy. It's not the biggest seller we've ever had, he said, but it is still a very much loved and much respected machine. This thing, I couldn't name you, probably apart from the Uncharted game that came out on the PS Vita, I couldn't name you a single game on it. It has no interest in me either. I mean, I have my 3DS, I'm playing Pokemon, that's all I play. I did try to play Legend of Zelda, but Ocarina of Time, but I'm not bothered with that anymore. Vita launched at a relatively high price in February 2012, and has underperformed at retail ever since. And with the only thing with the PSP that I actually liked was the movie stuff. Because basically I could get Cowboy Bebop the movie on it. But as the battery life was pretty shit, it would be, you know, I'd have to have it on charge wherever I was watching it. And, you know, I could rather just watch the same movie on my big screen telly. But yeah, I say Sony expects to sell a combined total of just 5 million Vitas before March 2014. Down from 7 million in the previous 12 months. However you stack it, the numbers aren't pretty, especially when 3DS has overcome its own turbulent launch and now looks set to go down in history as a worthy DS successor. Yes, because it has Pokemon. And also, and now we're getting the Smash Brothers game, which I do want to get. That will help boost the sales as well. So what's gone wrong with the Vita? From social network features to cameras, motion sensors, to touchscreen, rear touchpad, GPS, core play with PlayStation 3. Some critics have labeled the system a jack of all trades and a master of none. Sony certainly wanted to cover a lot of bases with Vita at launch, and if anything, this strategy has expanded post-launch, whether through long-term design or simple need to adapt to unusual unsure survival. The Vita is no longer marketed surely as a gaming platform in its own right, but perhaps just as heavily as a companion device. This is perhaps the very thing that will save the machine. Sony has made the Vita remote play a requirement for PlayStation for all. Sony has made Vita remote play a requirement for all PlayStation 4 games, barring those that support specific hardware like the PlayStation 4 camera. Just in time for the game's launch, next-gen consoles launch. The company's UK arm worked with retailers to release hardware bundles that included both systems for a slightly reduced price. Good, but not good enough. Remote Play is jam-packed with potential, but anecdotal reports claim that Sony's second screen gaming solution suffers on slower internet connections and that sometimes it can only be used within a few feet of TV. The tech wizards at Digital Foundry also raised concerns that the image quality, frame rate drops, and screen size and latency, meaning it's a cute function that's useful for some gamers but not for others. It seems unlikely that Remote Play will save Vita, especially if it's simply a cute function. However, it's high hopes for Vita TV, released in Japan in November, expected to launch in the West in 2014. It's a standalone micro console, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the Vita's a dead stick. It doesn't interest me, and obviously by the numbers, not a whole bunch of people. I mean, because if the PSP sold 75 million units, where are all these people who bought PSPs buying Vitas? I mean, one, they're probably happy with their PSPs, or two, games that are worth playing on it. But, you know, considering that I'd probably more likely to buy a Vita than a PSP, I have no interest in one, to be honest. And using it as a second screen, yes, Nintendo does that already with the Wii U, and no one's buying the Wii U. So, you know, and there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be a second screen on something where you have to look two different places at the same time. A 3DS, two screens. I looked down both times. It's, you know, it's just one of those things. Okay. No, nothing worth saying in there. So I'm just looking for decent stuff. A bunch of crap there. Let's have a look at something else. Try and find something. I'm running out of time because I'm talking non-stop. Okay. Shit, trying to find something. Here we go, yeah. This will piss me off. Just kick the tip micro. There we go. Major League Gaming viewership grew by more than 250% in 2013. Up more than 1,500% since 2010. Major League Gaming viewership has grown by more than 250% since 2012. The esports company announced this week. Since 2010, MLG's viewership has grown by more than 1,500%. That demographic is almost entirely male, no shit. And 50% of... it's almost entirely male and a bunch of women who look like blokes. And 50% composed of people aged between 16 and 34. Major League Gaming released an infographic compiling its growth in visual form, which you can find at the bottom of this article, which I will now post in the chat room. So... you know, fan can have a laugh at. Paste. There we go. But yeah, there we go. Yep. Yes, Major League Gaming has also compared its viewership favorably to that of an NCAA March Madness. Viewers of pro circuit championship events spent an average of 150 minutes watching, compared to March Madness watchers who spent an average of 105 minutes per event. Top college basketball games that average about 105, according to the Wall Street Journal. The company recently launched MLG.TV, where it broadcasts both original programs based around esports and the events themselves. Gaming broadcast service Twitch has also experienced significant growth recently, thanks to no small part to the PlayStation 4's native streaming. But yeah, I look at this stuff. It's yes, we're having a big growth. That's nice. Hang on, just sorry. Video consumption growth, 6 million unique viewers. That's not much. Considering that, yeah, that is that to us. So far that this year, it says about 54 million hours have been watched. So by about what 6 million? One sec. Six million viewers. So each million viewers is watch each. Sorry, each viewer is watching what 2 or 3 hours. That's about it. That's not much considering the fact that what consoles was it? Say PlayStation 2, 150 million. Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, if that's the thing. The best thing is the way to describe this. If people care about this, they'll watch it. But most people don't, so they're not. But it's nice that it's actually growing because it makes it easier for people who actually give a shit and makes it people for it easier who don't give a shit who won't watch this stuff. But yeah, there's all these figures and stuff like that. Oh, fucking no one cares about Major League Gaming apart from these poor losers. Let's find something else. Where was that? Something I saw earlier. I popped up. Give me 1 second.
Hi, here we go.
Fuck off. Bloody ads. Yeah, here we go. Bethesda's Christmas card suggests no Fallout 4 in 2014. No, because it's coming out in 2015. Or possibly 2016 at the latest. Bethesda has released its annual, Christmas card. Hang on, let me just chat this in the chat room as well. Just 1 second. There we go. Yeah. Has released its annual Christmas card offering tantalizing insight into its gaming lineup for 2014. Which, you know, released on the Beth blog, the image contains a number of references to upcoming Bethesda titles that we should expect to see next year. Given recent confirmation that Fallout 4 is real and set in Massachusetts, unsurprisingly, it's the one game that everyone desperately hoping is referenced. So is it there, up there? Well, sadly, it appears not, though a number of people have pointed out the vault under the tree or the robot dog as evidence that Fallout 4 we're headed our way next year. These are actual nods to Evil Within, which I'm looking forward to, and Wolfenstein New Order, which I'm also looking forward to. It's not much of a Christmas card. It's like two things. It's like a vault safe type thing, which is referring to the Evil Within because it's covered in blood, and a robot dog from Wolfenstein. Yeah, two things. It's not much. It's not coming out this next year because I think it was like was it 2 years we had to wait after we saw that initial trailer from Fallout 3. Before it was came, was it, I think was it 2008 or something? We got that trailer, it didn't come out until like 2009. I don't know. Something like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the new Fallout. Set in Massachusetts, that's gonna be great because I've been there. Set around the main, main Boston area. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be good when it does come out and whatever the story is, whoever's gonna be in it, that sort of stuff. Brzezinski planning to make a proper PC arena first-person shooter. This is off CVG. Designer claims to have had nibbles from interested parties, but he is still seeking funding. Former Epic Games designer director Cliff Brzezinski revealed during a recent Death Squad podcast, no idea what Death Squad is, but he wants to make a proper arena shooter. The co-creator of the Unreal and Gears of War series said via Kotaku, I have a pitch. I have concept art. I know pretty much what I want to do. It will be a PC experience that will harken back to a certain type of game that we cut our teeth on. Yes, so basically it's an Unreal Tournament shooter. A first-person shooter, it's in my DNA. It's one of those things. A lot of these kids are playing Call of Duty. I don't think they'd know what a proper arena shooter is if it hit them across the fucking head. Brzezinski added, I want to get funding. I don't want to do a Kickstarter. I've shown the project to various parties, and they are nibbles. I want to do something. It's just I'm not going to do it if the first time is not right and if the funding's not right. Brzezinski has been teasing a new project throughout the latter half of 2013 with the release of a series of cropped images. In October 2012, Blazinski announced that he resigned from Epic Games and would, and some 2 decades after joining as a 17-year-old. In a prepared statement, Epic said Blazinski had departed to chart the next stage in his career, while Blazinski himself said he planned to take a much-needed break. In December, he said, "I'm starting a new studio, maybe at some point. It's not a matter of it's a matter of when and with who." He said he wanted to work on something new and fresh and redefine my legacy. Well, you want to make an Unreal Tournament game, basically. Don't bullshit us. And I think it's bullshit what you're saying about people who play Call of Duty wouldn't know what arena shooter. Every first-person shooter online game is an arena shooter. You get a little box area, and you basically go around killing people. That's the same fucking thing. It just shows what you know because you're a dumbass. I can't stand looking at this smug cunt. He really pisses me off. I just want to punch him in the head too. All right, let's have a look, find some more stuff. Ah, yes, here we go. I don't think I talked about this last week, but Atlas's freedom to revive any classic Sega game is expected. Exactly what both parties need. This game's Radar. Sega was given its newly acquired development studio, Atlas, complete freedom to revisit any of its Sega's domain IPs. Basically, a very public handing over the keys to all cars in Daddy's garage. This is what's known in the trade. It's a very good thing. Sega may have released many strong compilations and HD remakes of its old games, even though over the past few years. But proper visuals have been a bit patchy at best. Remember the new Golden Axe? Neither do I. What these classics need is a fresh approach, and that's where Atlas could shine bright like a Chaos Emerald. Yeah, Fenn shouting out Shining Force. But yeah, I mean, keep knocking over the fucking mic. On this thing that, you know, they're sort of putting up things like Jet Set Radio, Jet Grind Radio. Aren't we supposed to have a new one of those come out? I thought I had one come out. Panzer Dragoon, which, once we've got something from Panzer. It's not going to be Panzer Dragoon because we've got something that came out on the PlayStation 4, I think. Some sort of free-to-play thing. And that was okay. People didn't really like it. Whatever. It was an on-rails sort of thing. Jet Grind Radio, Jet Set Radio, that's Jet Set Radio Future, whatever that was. I think we've had one come out. Look at Streets of Rage. Maybe a sort of, you know, scroll along, beat 'em up, 3D, you know, modern graphics would be great. I mean, to be honest, we haven't had a decent sort of Streets of Rage-style beat 'em up since Fighting Force back on the... I think the original PlayStation. But they got here Shenmue 2, Shenmue 2, yeah, I was right. Shenmue 2, which I'd love to see. You know, finish off the story because it's been 10 years. We need to finish the story off. The story's come out via a translated article from Japan's gaming mag Famitsu, as reported by CVG News. According to reports, Sammy's chief? Operating officer Noya Tsurumi said, "I believe that the addition of genres is a crucial factor, especially with regard to the fact that Sega have never excelled in RPG titles. With consideration towards Atlas' strengths, Japanese RPGs would be a principal example. But don't think that means Atlas will be limited to using an obvious RPG candidate like Phantasy Star, or just bashing out future iterations of its own RPGs." Which, to be honest, I wouldn't mind, because I've been told the Atlas RPGs are pretty good. They're, you know, PC titles, so, you know, never got a chance to play them. Plus, they're, like, you know, 20 years old. If they can reimagine any classic Sega franchises, they're allowed to go ahead and do it. Tsurumi said, "While we have no intention of forcing this, we'll definitely love to have them utilize any of Sega's dormant IPs." Yeah, this article goes on and on. But yeah, I mean, just Shenmue. There's a caption here that says, "Oh God, someone please just make Shenmue 3 already." Yeah, I want Shenmue 3. I mean, just give me the fucking game. Give me the original Shenmue. Chuck it up as, you know, a downloadable only, whatever. you know, as a, not a HD remake, but just chuck it up onto PlayStation Store or the Xbox Store. And, you know, I'll be looking forward to playing it. Here we go. This could be interesting. This is for my gen. Ken Levine on Bioshock's, Bioshock Infinite's explicit violence. Yeah, in a new interview with Boston Magazine, Irrational Games creator Ken Levine has offered a thoughtful and somewhat provocative theory on violence in video games. Levine, who has been criticised by some for the excessive violence in the otherwise richly atmospheric worlds of his Bioshock franchise, believes that art, in this instance video games, has a responsibility to authenticate to authentically replicate violence. One of the representatives of art, one of the responsibilities of art is actually show this is what it looks like when someone gets shot, because it's really obfuscated? I don't know what the hell, I think I spelled that wrong. In news reports of war and violence, Levine told the magazine, war is about sending pieces of metal very fast at people and tearing them to bits on the most primal level. As the magazine notes, explicit violence in video games is something Levine has been querying on many times. While his games are lauded as bastions of storytelling sophistication, in a medium, his critics argue that their excessive bloodshed undermines his achievements. I don't really think so. I mean, just I think there's choice. I think the I think the storytelling outweighs the violence. I mean, just the I'm just thinking about Bioshock Infinite. The most explicit form of violence, I think, was right at the beginning when you get the skyhook thing. And then you sort of smash it into that guy's head. That's probably the most explicit I can think of. But I mean, maybe with, you know, using the plasmids and the tonics and stuff. Maybe, you know, you electrics, if you're frying people, or using the big daddies to drill people. Or I mean, you know, but it wasn't exactly super explicit. I mean, just most video games these days are explicit when it comes to violence. It's pretty much why you play them, you know. As I said, I know I've said in the old intro, it was like, you know, previous show, we might as well just be playing, you know, Barbie Horse Adventures. You know, that's, you know, it's very, there's no violence. It's all very, you know, low key and subtle. But, you know, violence and stuff, it's why we play the games, because it's a gateway into basically stuff we wouldn't do in real life. We wouldn't go around killing people, you know, willy nilly. We just, you know, we probably do something, you know, its own version in, you know, Call of Duty, or, you know, what we are in, you know, Bioshock, that sort of stuff. I was just wondering about this one. Okay, let's have a look. But yeah, I mean, you know, violence has always been there in video games. It's one of the things. No, it's not worth talking about. Something about this, about NBA Live 2014. No one fucking cares about that. What's this one here? Oh, hang on, where's that? Ah, here we go, yes. This is something I saw before the show. The next Star Wars game is a free-to-play online space game. Now, this gets me excited. The trailer is in the Facebook group. I'll put it in there before the show started. Video game publisher Electronic Arts might have the rights to make... might have the rights to make real Star Wars games, but Disney is still milking that social mobile free-to-play online cow. Today they officially announced Star Wars Attack Squadrons, an online space game set in the iconic sci-fi universe. To quote Disney, Star Wars Attack Squadrons is a free-to-play online game, space combat, where players customize iconic Star Wars ships and engage in high-velocity 16-player dogfights in fabled Star Wars locations. There's a beta here as well. They're still using the LucasArts logo. Well, yeah, because they own pretty much LucasArts anyway. I mean, what the fuck is George Lucas doing these days with LucasArts? Nothing at all. The whole studio has been broken down. The fact that, you know, they own LucasArts. They've got, you know, Disney owns everything, you know. But yeah, I mean, what I saw in the trailer is there's, you know, X-Wings flying about, and, you know, there's traditional ones with the red parts on them, and there's the other one that's got, like, covered in blue paint, so, you know, customizable. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to, what do you call it? you know, a free to play Star Wars game. I mean, you know, they've they haven't said what it's going to be on, so I'm going to guess it's PC. That would get me playing PC games. You know, Star Wars attached. I'm a big fan of the X-Wing TIE Fighter series. Never really played much apart from a demo back on my dad's old Windows 95 PC. But yeah, I mean they're great. We need space combat that works. You know, I want to play something that's Star Wars themed around, you know, space and stuff. Matty's in the chat now, finally. Nice to show up. It's just him and Fenn are talking about Shining Force now. Yeah, I'll leave them to it. But no, I mean, I'm looking forward to this Star Wars space game. It's going to be pretty good. And, you know, this is the sort of, you know, gameplay that we've been asking out for years. It's like we want not first person shooters. We want flight combat games based in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, if the graphics are anything like they are in the trailer, you know, it's going to be really, really good when it comes out. Let's have a look, try and find some more stuff. Here we go. Here we go, yeah. Valve, this is from CBG. Valve defies YouTube's copyright cull. Users are free to upload in-game footage from Valve titles, company stipulates. Valve has updated its user video policies in response to Google's mass cull of potentially copyright infringement, infringing user videos. Following reports that YouTube is removing video game-related content on the grounds of its copyright infringement, Valve has updated its policies to protect users sharing content from their own titles. And it's so bullshit what YouTube's doing anyway. It says here, you are free to monetize your videos via YouTube's partner program and set up programs on other video game video sharing sites. This is what the post says. Use of our content in videos must be non-commercial, and by that we mean you can't charge users to view or access your videos. You also can't sell or license your videos to others for a payment of any kind. The company also specifies that, I'm sure if people did try to fucking sell their videos, someone will probably find some sort of, you know, free site anyway to watch it on, sort of pirate site anyway. The company also specifies that while in-game footage is accessible, users should not distribute in-game assets such as music and voice work separately. Valve is not the only company to respond to tightening of YouTube's policies. Both Capcom and Blizzard have also moved to assure users that they are not responsible for recent removal of game channel content. This follows reports that many video game related YouTube channels are being culled due to new Google technology which auto detects content at a risk of copyright infringement. Since then, YouTube invited gaming channel holders to dispute invalid content ID claims. Yeah, this is so bullshit. I mean, all right. If we take, I mean, they're trying to push it all towards Twitch, I'm guessing. But why, if you take down, if they take down all the gaming videos, I mean, what's next for YouTube? I'm a frequent watcher of Pokemania Thursdays on StudyVoxFM.com. I watch their videos on YouTube, and I watch a bunch of other, like, Smogon does their videos, and Necro Steve, he does videos, and a bunch of others. I watch all their Pokemon videos and stuff, and other gaming videos. It's like, so what, you're basically just taking all these videos, gaming-related videos, off? Well, why don't you just do that for every other video that's on there, you know? I mean, shit. I mean, the Rebecca Black videos, was it 10 million views? That's a load of crap. Take that down. You know, there's so much shit on YouTube, and it's like, well, why don't you take all the crap that's pointless and waste and useless and waste of time? You know, all these reality show videos, and, you know, there's just so much shit on YouTube, and you want to take down all this stuff over copyright? I mean, you're so full of shit when it comes to this sort of stuff. It's just annoying as hell. I don't know. It annoys me. I think, you know, what they're trying to do with all this copyright shit. It's like, there's only so much you can go far you can go, and it's all just bloody annoying. Jeez. All right, let's find something else to finish off the show with, because I'm running out of time, as usual. What we got here? Let's have a look. Here we are. Something from Microsoft. Finish this off with. Forza 5 update slashes car prices. Developer lowers incentive on to purchase via microtransaction. This is from CVG. Developer Turn 10 is preparing to a free update for more for Forza Motorsport 5, which will dramatically reduce the price of in-game vehicles. The update is due to launch next week. This article came out last week, so it should be here now. And will cut the price of cars in the game by as much as 45%. It will also add new multiplayer modes. Turn 10 has it also increased the rate at which players earn cash in the game, meaning the time investment needed to earn more exotic cars has been greatly reduced overall. Turn 10 estimates that with the change in place, exotic cars can now be earned in one-fifth the time it takes to earn them in Forza 4. The update follows criticisms of the game's microtransactions economy, which many consider to unfairly priced vehicles, considering the game is already sold at a premium price. In a new video interview, a studio representative suggested he agrees. We based our economy largely on Forza Motorsport 4 data. Creative director Dan Greenewalt said the earn rate in Forza 5 should have been the same. Yeah, maybe, but to be honest, with the Forza franchise, it's been out a long time on the Xbox 360, so you're going to get higher turnover in Forza 4. But as Forza 5 is launching on a brand new console, it's not going to be as high, because there's not as many people have Xbox Ones as they do Xbox 360s. So it's a very simple thing of math there, mate. It's literally, you got a brand new console, your investment from the gamers isn't going to be as high as it's on previous consoles, because more people have the previous console than they do with the new one. It's a very simple thing. It's a very smart thing. It's very, very simple, and you should have thought of it, but you didn't, because you're an idiot. The update will also add two new multiplayer modes, free of charge. The first is drag racing, which basically it's a bunch of blokes running up in dresses. Which supports up to 16 races in one lobby, one-on-one duels, or 8 cars on the same drag strip. That's pretty cool. I was going to make a Richard Hammond joke. The other new mode is tag, which comes in 3 variants. Keep the one player is it, and you have to tag, blah, blah, blah. Tag virus, one player is it, and it's a spread among the virus, and pass the it. Similar to keep the fucking tag. Jesus Christ, how many variants of tag are there? Late November, Turn 10 offered a temporary discount on cars, but returned them to the full price after a weekend. In CVG's Forza 5 review, we said Turn 10 wants you to feel a sense of pride and ownership by not making it hard to earn vehicles. It's an admirable notion, though, undermined by the option to just outright buy cars with real money. Yes, I know, but CV... what the hell is it? What the hell is it? But yeah, game traders talk about all the good cars are in transactions to buy, real money transactions. And, about buying cars, EA's been doing that for a while with the Need for Speed stuff. But it's just so bullshit. There's bloody things. It's annoying. We just want to play games. It's like, just charge us what it's supposed to cost, and don't bullshit us with all this stuff. There's just so much bullshit going on in the games industry. It's like, bunch of dumbass brainless suits. Like fucking Dan Greenwald, it's like, but I just said about the data between, Forza 4, he was using Forza 4 data on Forza 5. It's like, just wasting your damn time. I don't know. But that's it for me this evening, as, time is running out. But I say, as it's Tuesday, we're getting Alcohol by Volume, which is, if you're listening to us live, which goes live in about an hour. After that, we have Unsigned Hype with, Sir Dark Side. And then after that, we have Dutch and Royce following out the night. This show should be up for download, as well as Ham Radio and OSW Review in a couple of hours. But thanks for everyone for listening. But if you do want to get in touch with us, it's Antisocial Game Radio on Skype. Also, if you want emails, it's antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join us in the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/MNRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerLob, at MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, so don't forget, there was a secret show the other day. Go to morelightradio.org to download it, or off iTunes, search for Morelight Radio. Also, leave us a review. It's very helpful. Makes it easier for us to get more people interested in the show. You know, tell your friends about us. You know, if you've already liked the Facebook page for this show and Morelight Radio, share it with other people. Try and get as many people to like it as possible. It makes it all helpful and very entertaining for all of us. Just watching the interaction between Fern and Matty in the chat about Shining Force. But no, I mean, you know, it's been a good show this week. And as soon as I'm done and with this, I'm going to be starting the Game of the Year post in the Facebook group. So get yourself in there now. You know, time to download this. If you're not listening live, it will be there. So, you know, get yourself in. Tell me what your Game of the Year has been so far, if you know what it is. If not, have a think, then get back in there. But yeah, I say it's been a good night tonight. And I am tired now. I'm ready for bed. But I will speak to you a lot again next week. No real topic planned, but I'll probably just do more news articles unless I can think of something. But I will see you lot next week.
British piece of shit was. Holy
shit. A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
Area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or north or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.